would like to tell you a story. There was a man in Jerusalem who had been born with some disability. And this disability prevented this man from walking. And because he could not walk, he could not work. And so he was forced to beg. And every day, friends would carry him from his home to the great temple there in Jerusalem. And then they would leave him at the entrance gate, lying on the ground, where he would beg from people who were going into the temple to worship. One day, Peter and John, who were two of Jesus' apostles, were entering into the temple when this man called out to them for alms, called out to them from his place lying in the ground, on the ground. So the apostles examine this man carefully, this man lying there, and they say, "Look at us." And the man turned his attention to them, expecting a handout. And Peter told him, "I don't have any money, but this is what I can give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And Peter reached down to the man and took him by his right hand and lifted him up. And the man's feet and ankles, which had never supported him in his whole life, suddenly became strong. And they were strong enough for him to stand up and walk. The man then entered the temple with the apostles, and as he went with them, he began to dance and jump and run around praising God in a loud voice. The people in the temple saw this, and they were surprised because they recognized this man as the beggar from out at the gate. And they gathered around Peter and John and the man, and they were pointing and asking the obvious question, "What happened?" And Peter, who is never one to pass up an opportunity to share his faith with a crowd, gathered the people around him, and he began to preach. He told them what had happened to this man. He told them Jesus, who was recently executed, but whom God raised from the dead. Peter explained that it was through his own faith, faith in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, that God made this man strong. Peter called for all those who were there who witnessed this miracle, then to repent. So you got a man running around, and a crowd, and Peter preaching. And all of this caused such a commotion in the temple that it caught the attention of the priest, the temple guard, and the Sadducees. And the Sadducees were especially annoyed because Peter was teaching about resurrection. And the Sadducees, who were a particular denomination within Judaism, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So, they had Peter and John arrested and held overnight. Now, the Gospels often place the Jewish authorities as the antagonists in the story of Jesus. Luke is especially guilty of this. But here, the council, they have a legitimate concern because they are the guardians of the Jewish faith, and they have to deal with anything that they view as threatening that religion. This council is known as the Sanhedrin. And they're called together that day to address this issue of Peter and John. And they're more concerned with just what had taken place. They're more concerned about the increasing number of people who believe in the crucified Jesus of Nazareth. And they were trying to figure out what they were going to do about this. This council, as I said, was known as the Sanhedrin. And this was the high court of Judaism in Jerusalem. And at this particular hearing, we are told there were rulers and elders and scribes. There was Annas, the former high priest, and Caiaphas, who was the current high priest, and who was also son-in-law to Annas. And there were also other members of the high priestly families of Jerusalem. This was religious nobility in this council. And their job as the Sanhedrin was to interpret and guard Jewish law and Jewish practice, and to discipline anybody who strayed. The council also included some Sadducees, remember those who did not believe in the resurrection, but there were also Pharisees who did believe in the resurrection. And their interrogation of Peter and John was not so much about resurrection as it was about authority. And the question that they put to Peter and John was this: by what power or by what name did you do this? In other words, they wanted to know on whose authority that these two men were performing their tricks and preaching in the temple. Think about it this way. If you go into a McDonald's and you start putting up posters for Burger King, they're going to ask you to leave. If you go into the Regions Bank and start telling people that they can get better rates over at First Tennessee, they're going to ask you to leave. If you go to the Wilson County Fair and start telling people that there is a better county fair somewhere else, they'll never find your body. So Peter and John are brought before this high council because the growing group of followers of Jesus are seen as some potential threat to Judaism. The council asked Peter this: by what power or name did you do this? They want to know, who does he claim to represent? And we are told that at that moment, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he says to them, you brought us in because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and you want to know how this man was healed. Then I want you, in fact, I want all the people of Israel to know that he is in perfect health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. And then Peter quotes from the Psalms when he says, the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, it has become the cornerstone. Peter views Jesus as the new cornerstone of the Jewish faith. The leaders of the faith, he says, they're the builders, but they rejected him when they crucified him, but he has returned to new power. Now, remember, all this episode began when Peter, out of compassion for this man who could not walk, heals him outside of the temple. I don't believe that Peter planned to do this that day. He and John were simply going to the temple to worship and to pray. But their spontaneous actions, along with Peter's preaching, proved to be an annoyance to the Sadducees. And it set off this chain of events. Because to the Sadducees and the temple leadership, Peter and his cohorts were really something of an annoyance. They were like a burr under a saddle. Now, I've only ridden horses a handful of times in my life, but I understand the meaning of the phrase, a burr under the saddle. A burr, or a thorn, or where I come from, a sticker, is painful when you get one stuck to your skin. If a burr or a sticker gets between a horse and its saddle, the horse may not feel it at first, but as the ride continues and the saddle presses and rubs against the horse's flesh, in time that burr will become a painful irritant to the horse. For us, it may be like having a rock in our shoe, or an itch that we just can't seem to scratch. It hurts, and it's annoying. For the Sadducees and the temple leadership, the name of Jesus had become a verb under their Sabbath. And even though he was dead, his followers continued on stirring up the people in his name. Their movement was growing day by day, and this burr was becoming too annoying to ignore. Now, we should not be surprised by this. Jesus had already warned his followers that this is what it was going to be like when he said, "Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Jesus knows that the message of salvation that he brings to this world will force people to go in different directions. Some will indeed follow him. Some won't. Families will be divided. Communities will be divided. Jesus offers a peace, but not the sort of peace that comes from people who are simply not fighting. His peace is deeper than that. Some would say it is wonderful. Others would label it annoying. The church was willing to stand up to the Jewish authorities and then the Roman authorities. And the church survived because it held fast to this core belief in the resurrection of Christ. The church, I believe, is at its best not when it's seeking just to make everybody happy, but when it chooses to be like a burr under a saddle, irritating the things that need to be changed and bringing salvation in Jesus' name to the world. The church is at its best when it's a rock in the shoe of injustice, when it's an itch on the back of hatred. The church is at its best when it's a piece of sand caught inside of an oyster, because in time that irritating grain of sand becomes what? A beautiful pearl. As Christians, we are called to show compassion, to love our neighbors, to help those in need. And doing these things, well, they may irritate some, but it is Jesus calling for us. And it is no longer a bird, but it is a priceless gift.